up. You have to have a hope in your life. If you have no hope, then all you have is discouragement and failure and all this kind of thing. And God wants us to have a hope. We are to have a future and a hope. That's what the Bible says. Very important you understand that, and I'm going to show you where it says that, that every single one of us are to have a future and a hope. Look in Jeremiah 29 in verse 11. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. You ought to underline this verse. Put it on your refrigerator, whatever, wherever you need hope. I'd put this in there. Now, it doesn't, in the King James, say the word hope, but that's what it means. I'm going to show you. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. Now, this says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you." Now, that says that God thinks about you. He thinks about you. He's constantly thinking about you. You know you can't get away from God. There's nowhere you can go to get away from God. It's an impossibility. You can't get away. He says, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord." Now, this is the Lord that created the earth, that's keeping the earth, and will wrap it up at the end. Are you listening to me? You have to look at the whole picture. God created the earth. He created everything you see. He created you and me. He keeps us all alive. He sustains us. You wouldn't have one more breath if God didn't sustain your life. You couldn't take another breath unless he did it. And then he says, and we know that's true. We know he created everything. We know he keeps it going. And when he says that he's going to wrap it all up and prepare a place for you, guess what? He's going to do it. And so we have that hope in the future. If you have Christ, you have the hope. If you have the Word of God within you, you have the hope. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have the hope. He said, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you." God's interested in you. I don't know how you feel about it, but it doesn't make any difference. It's what the Word of God says. So he thinks about you. He has thoughts about you. And says the Lord, "Thoughts of peace and not of evil." I'm here to tell you, God wants to bring good things in your life and not evil. It says so right there. Now, the world, the flesh, and the devil bring evil, but not God. He's not going to bring evil in your life. He's not in the evil business. Satan's in that business, not the Lord. And he said, to give you an expected end, and what that really, that expected end in the original says, he's going to give you a future and a hope. Write that in your Bible, a future and a hope, where it says expected end. He has an expected end for you. He has a purpose for your life. He has an expected end when this life is over. And it's just that simple. God created time. He put you in time. There's going to be a time when there is no time, and he's going to take you out, and you're going to be with him in eternity. That's what the Word of God says. There shouldn't be a day go by, but you have that on your mind, and you can hold on to it and grab onto it, regardless of the hell that's going on around you or on the TV set. Because there's plenty on there. And, you know, if you look at the those running for president, there's not much hope here, folks. I tell you, I'd rather have one of you running. I tell you the truth. I really would. It's a sad thing. But it's not the end because that's not going to affect God one way or the other. Are you listening to me? His plan's going to go on. I don't care if the devil himself's in the office, and it may end up that way, incidentally. But beside that, that's all I'm going to say about that. So anyway, but we have a hope. Regardless of who's president, regardless of the dumb things they do, we have hope. And that's the issue. Heaven's not determined on who's the president of the United States. You might think that sometimes, but it's not true. That's all you hear on the news. They haven't got anything else to talk about. And that's a shame. But the issue is, we have a hope. He wants to give us thoughts of peace, not of evil. He wants to give us an expected end. Now, How does that continue in your life? How do you make that so in your life? There's another promise I love to look at, because this is my future and this is your future. Go to Revelation 21. Revelation's at the end for a purpose. He didn't put this in the front of the Bible. He put it at the end of the Bible. Revelation 21. The reason is, this is how it's all going to end up. God tells us exactly how it's going to end up in this chapter. This is, you either have hope or no hope. If you have hope, you're going to end up one way. If you don't have hope, you're going to end up another way. Okay, Revelation 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And that very simply says, God's going to remake this earth. He's going to change the whole thing. Some people think he's going to make it bigger. I think that's a possibility. There's not going to be any oceans like you see today. It's going to be different. There's not going to be any time. It's going to be a timeless place in paradise. Hallelujah. And if you're going to be in a timeless place, that's the place to be. Amen? All right. I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And that's why I pray for the Jerusalem now, because I'm looking forward to the Jerusalem in the future. It's going to come from God. It's going to have everything we need. It's going to have everything you could possibly want. It is going to be perfect, coming down from God. That's going to be your dwelling place. It's not going to be in the ground. It's not going to be in the casket. It's not going to be in blown to pieces. It's going to be in the new Jerusalem, that heavenly city that comes from God. I have a hope today, because the Word of God says, that's going to be my home, and it's going to be your home. Do I hear an amen? Amen. You see, I can get excited about this. And verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And that was the purpose of God in the first place. And that's why he put you here, so he would be with you, and you would be with him. That's always been God's purpose. That's God's purpose. Now it's going to be his purpose in the future. And he tells us so right here in this word. And I love verse 4. He's going to wipe away all your tears. Hallelujah. He didn't say there wasn't going to be any. He's going to wipe them away when they come. I think there'll be some tears in heaven at the beginning, but they're not going to be as we continue on through it. I think there'll be some tears because he's going to show us what we could have had here on earth that we didn't diligently seek him and get what he wants us to have. And nobody's going to have it all. There was only one perfect. And but the issue is, I think there'll be some, but it's not going to last long. I'd rather have a tears for a couple of days and eternity with none. Are you listening to me? There'll be no more death. I like that part. Nothing, no one, nothing is going to die in this new heaven and new earth. You won't lose anyone or anything. Hallelujah. You see. Now that's the issue. I have hope today because of what the Word of God says. And he said, there's not going to be any more pain. You can forget the aspirins and all that stuff they advertise. And for the former things were passed away. And he that sat upon the throne, and behold, I'll make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are faithful and true. Don't hang on to too much stuff, because he's got a whole new bunch of stuff to give you. Are you listening to me? Grace and I had a garage sale yesterday with two guys sitting in this room, and there was so much junk in there. They barely had a room to walk into the kitchen and get to the TV set. That was the two main things, get to the kitchen and the TV set. They didn't care about anything else. I think sometimes we care about way too much stuff. But anyway, he said, everything's going to be new. I said, everything's going to be new. Yeah, that'll be different right there, amen? And so it goes on, and he says, you know, if somebody else wrote this, I wouldn't be quite as excited as I am that God wrote it. So he's going to tell you ahead of time what he's going to do and what you're going to have. Are you listening to me? There's no guesswork here. You know where you're going to live. Somebody said, I just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I just don't know what's going to happen the next day. Read the Word of God. You see? And so it says, write these words, for they're faithful and true. Absolutely. Verse 6, for he said unto me, it's done. It's already done. It was done at the cross. It was finished, he said. That plan was put into place at the cross of Jesus Christ. It was in the heart of God, but when the cross came, that signed the issue right there. And he said, I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I'll give unto him that's a thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Now, that's the qualification right there. Keep searching, keep thirsting for God. Don't give up every morning, every night, every day. Get in the Word of God, whether you feel like it or not, whether you can hardly get up, get your Bible out and read out loud a chapter in the Bible every single day. It's going to give you a blessing and a hope. Or are you listening to me? How many's been doing that? How many are blessed? Okay, some of us. I guess I'm going to have to have raised hands. How many need a Bible? So if you're not reading it. Anyway, he that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he'll be my son. Well, the issue is, you say, well, I got to overcome. You are an overcomer if you're in Jesus Christ. Because we identify with him, and he's already overcome. So if we're his, we're overcomers right now. You're an overcomer. That's you. Your name's right there. For overcomers. Somebody said, oh, I just don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I can overcome. You already have in Jesus' name. He said, and shall inherit all things. I will be his God and he'll be my son. And you can put daughter there. That's always been God's plan. That's what the whole Bible's all about. He wants to be God and have his children. And that's us. That's why God did the whole thing. He wouldn't have had to make the universe, the earth, Mars, planets, anything else, if he wasn't going to have children. Amen. He's taking care of his kids, and he puts them on a planet, perfect place called Earth. We couldn't live any place else, and that's the right place. So if he put us in the right place now, he's going to put us in the right place later. Amen. That's the issue. And he says, you got somebody that wants to be your God and for you to be his sons and daughters. You want to know God's plan? There it is right now, verse 7. That's the plan of God. But now he says, now I'm talking about those that are going to get the new heaven and new earth, going to be with God forever. And those that reject that plan and don't care about the plan or not thirsty about God, don't read their Bible, don't get into the things of God, don't come to church, don't get blessed, don't sing praises to him. But the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the fornicators, the sorcerers, the idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire. You see, there's the heavenly Jerusalem, and then there's a lake that burns with fire. God has something for everybody. And shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And so the issue is, be thirsty for the things of God. Be thirsty for the Word of God, and you'll have hope in God. You'll have a reason to get up every single day. And I don't know anybody that's got it perfect, and I don't know anybody that doesn't have this problem or that problem. But what I'm talking about is, you got a reason to get up, you got a reason to get dressed, you got a reason to breathe, because of our hope in Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible hope is not wishing. It's not just thinking about something. It's having confidence that the Word of God means what it says. Now, that's the whole issue. Being confident of this very thing, that he who's begun a good work in you will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. I have hope. I have hope that God's going to finish his work in me until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, what's the day of Jesus Christ? Either the time you leave this body and go be with Jesus, or the rapture of the church when he comes for the whole church and be taken up. That's the day of Jesus Christ. Then the day of Jesus Christ is going to go on. It's going to be a 7-year tribulation period. There's going to be the 1,000-year reign of Christ. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. I know exactly what's going to happen in the future, and I don't have to look at the psychic magazines to find out.
Amen.
And they're all over the place. People are reading that stuff, and they're putting their hope in that. And where are they going to end up? The lake of fire. That's just says so. We just read it in the Scriptures. It's in the Word of God. And so what is your hope in? If your hope's in yourself, if the hope's in your abilities, or the hope is in your beauty, or the hope is in your brilliance, or the hope is in any of that stuff, then you are one miserable person. And you're not an overcomer. I'll tell you that right now. And it don't make any difference how smart you are or anything else. You have Jesus, you have it. You see. And there it is. Okay. So it's based on the Word of God. Now, what's our ultimate place? The kingdom of God. We're in the spiritual kingdom of God now. We're going to be in the physical kingdom of God later if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Amen.
Yes. And that's the issue. And it's a sad thing to me that people do not teach salvation hardly in the churches anymore. And that's the whole issue, is coming to Jesus Christ. That's why we need to teach it. You need to teach about hell because Jesus taught about it more than anybody else in the Bible. And he knows what it is, you see. And so it was prepared by him. That's how he knows. He created it for the devil and his angels. That's what the Word of God said. Man being in it was a second thought because there wasn't any place else to put them if they didn't know Christ. That's the issue. The only thing he didn't tell us was when. You know, that bugs us to no end. Lord, we try to figure, people write books on when. God never even told Jesus when. The Father did not tell Jesus when. I kid you not. He didn't, according to the Word of God. And so nobody knows but the Father. He knows when. He knows when you're going to leave this earth. He knows when Jesus is coming again for his church. He knows when he's going to set up the kingdom. He knows when all these things are going to happen. He knows when all those people think they're going to blow Israel off the map. They're going to lose 5 out of 6 of their army. Are you listening to me? It's a sad thing. Well, we ought to be praying that these Muslims get saved because one large bunch of them are going to die trying to get rid of Israel. We're talking hundreds of thousands. You can't mess around with God. And he gave that land to Israel. You can't divide it up and give it to somebody else. I don't care if you're the president of the United States or who you are. That's a mistake. You see. Everybody over in Israel becomes prime minister. That's a dangerous place to be. Because they're always wanting to give up land and they die. You can't give up God's land. That's the issue. I have a hope, and my hope is in the Word of God. You see, it's an anchor of my life. Look in Hebrews 6:19. You got to have an anchor in your life. You got to have something solid to hang on to when things don't go so well, because they don't always go perfect. And there's reasons for all of that, but we're not going to get into that right this minute. But I want you to look in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. And that says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. That's what it says right there. God gave us a soul, and that soul has to have an anchor. If it doesn't, it's going to float all over, and it's going to float away from God. You have to have an anchor of the soul. Both sure and steadfast, which entereth in that within the veil. But the issue is, hope is an anchor of our soul. Now, if you're in a ship in a storm, you're going to put the anchor in, you're going to ride it out. That anchor is going to hold you solid. That anchor is going to keep you in one place. And that's where we need to be. We need an anchor for our soul. We need to hope in Jesus Christ. Our hope is centered in a person, the God-man, the Lord Jesus. It's centered in Him. Look in Psalm 39 and verse 7. We're going to look at several scriptures, so get your Bible out and work at it. If you don't know where these things are in the Bible, look it up in the front or whatever. Write them down and look them up later. But you'll eventually get used to where these things are. Psalm 39 and verse 7 says, "And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in You." So that person said, what am I waiting for? What am I looking for? My hope's in Christ. Why am I wasting my time with all this other stuff? My hope's in Christ. Why am I reading a whole bunch of other stuff more than I read the Bible? That's a big mistake, because my hope is in the Lord. That's what the Word of God says. It's not in anything else. It's not in your bank account. It's not in anything else. That stuff can fly away like a bird. And it's found in God. He's called the God of hope. Romans chapter 8 and verse 24. Romans 8, 24. Write these scriptures down. Look them up. He's called the God of hope. And if you have God, you have hope. That's the issue. Romans 8, 24. That says, "For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what man seeth, why does he yet hope for?" What he says, we're saved by hope. We are kept by hope. The hope we have in Jesus Christ sustains us, keeps us going, makes us want to live, makes us want to breathe. We're saved by the hope we have in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, the whole thing's focused on the Lord. Look in 1 Thessalonians. It's just a little bit to the right there. 1 Thessalonians 1, 3. And you're going to know the Bible if you hang around long enough. 1 Thessalonians 1, 3. Look at this. 1 Thessalonians 1, 3. "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father." Now, because he says, faith, love, and hope. There it is right there. That's the three main objects of our life should be faith, hope, and love. Faith is, we have faith that God's going to do what he says today. You have faith that you're going to do it. And then the labor of love. Love is eternal. God is a God of love. It's eternal. We should always be functioning in love, whatever we do. And then the patience of hope means we are waiting every day for the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That saying Mary Ann had in the bulletin was so neat last week. That live as though Jesus died yesterday. He rose from the dead today, and he's coming back tomorrow. Now, that's a statement. And I told her, put that thing in the bulletin. We need to see that every Sunday. It gives you hope. Listening to the Word of God preached gives you hope. Being focused in the Word of God gives you hope. You say, "Oh, I don't have any hope." You're probably not in the Word and probably not faithful to God. To be honest with you, I'm trying to help you here and trying to give you some hope today. Well, if you run out of hope, read Revelation 21, which we just read, because that's a good one. Now, the resurrection from the dead is an issue, and Apostle Paul preached it all the time, and they wanted to kill him all the time because he preached about the resurrection of the dead. You know why that is? Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have no hope. You see, it's all dead. He died, everything died with him. He'd be buried with Muhammad. He'd be buried with all those great leaders of the past. All of those that said that God was dead, he'd be dead with them if he didn't rise from the dead. That's why it's so important That's why the Bible spent so much time on it. That's why there were so many witnesses. Because God wanted you to know that He rose from the dead. And because He rose, you will rise also. Look in Acts 23, verse 6. Acts 23 and verse 6. It was such an issue back in Paul's day because they did everything they could to hide the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They made up stories about it, that He never rose. Acts 23 and verse 6. But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees, the other the Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I'm a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, and of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called into question." He's talking about the resurrection, the hope and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It says, He didn't rise, we have no hope. That's what the Bible says. He did rise, therefore we have hope. If He rose, you will rise also if you know Him. We have the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you receive hope? Well, let's you're going to love this one. Romans 5, 3 and 4. How do you get hope? Well, through your experiences in life and through the Word of God. That's exactly how you get it. You're absolutely right. Romans 5, 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Let me show you that again. Tribulation is not a bad thing. If you go through with that sail that says hope in Jesus Christ on it, it's not a bad thing. There are tribulations in life. They are here for a purpose, and one of the purposes is that we would have hope. You go through one thing, you come out the other side, you have hope. You go through another one, you're going to come out the other side, and that's the way it is. Hope comes from trials and tribulation. Patience, experience, and experience hope. Tribulations, we glory in them, knowing that it's going to work patience. Patience is going to work experience, and experience is going to work hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given unto us. There would nobody ever become a genius or a great leader in this life without going through tribulations and coming out the other side and getting experience. Are you listening to me? And you say, well, I came through that one, I can go through the next one. And when the next one comes, I'm going to rejoice in it because I know I'm going to learn something that's going to give patience in my life and it's going to give me hope. Are you listening to me? Now, this is the issue. There's a lot of tribulations in life. You know what we usually do with tribulations? We put a shrine around them. And we leave those in our minds, so if we feel like grieving over something, we'll grieve over the tribulations in the past. You know, and I'm going to tell you, that's not hope. That's hopelessness. And so what we should do is learn from every experience, and if we have to confess things to God, confess it, and He forgives us, and then we can move on as though it never happened. So if it keeps coming up, it's coming up for the one for whom God created the lake of fire. In other words, it comes from the evil one. If all your mind dwells on is things of the past, I'll guarantee you it's not God. Are you listening to me? Because what He wants you to do is deal with it, get over it, and move on. Did you ever see that guy in the commercials? I have to confess, I've watched a few television programs. He has these bowling balls in his hand. There's five of them. And there's a guy next to him, and he drops one and lands on the guy's foot. And he's, oh, 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 oh. And he says, shake it off. I'm here to tell you, shake it off and move on. In Jesus Christ, with the hope of God. Amen. You know, it was Dan Marino who got the bowling ball in his foot. I just remember who it was. He says, shake it off. Well, that's what you got to do. You got to shake that thing off. Man, it came from the enemy. Shake it off and let it go and start thinking about and concentrating on the hope we have in Jesus Christ. I want to tell you this. You read that Revelation 21 two or three times. You may have never danced in your life, but Arthur Murray is going to eat his heart out when you get a hold of that chapter and get it in you, and you know that's for you. It has your name on it. You know, we read this stuff like it's for somebody else. It's for us. It is for others, but I mean, it's for you. He wrote this letter to you. This Bible has your name on it. He had a purpose in putting this in your life. Now, so it's the Word of God and experience that's going to give you hope. The Word of God and experience is going to give you hope. We have to experience things in life. And so on. Look at Job chapter 7 and verse 6. It's just before Psalms. Job chapter 7 and verse 6. And it says, here's what Job said. He was going through tribulation at the time. He said, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Nobody know what that was today. And are spent without hope. There was a time when he lost hope there. And you can imagine what he went through. One day he lost his fortune. He was the richest man in the world. Lost it all one day. He had a whole bunch of kids and a family. He lost them all in one day. And on top of all of that, his, quote, friends came and started telling it was all his fault. It's all his fault. There's always something. But, you know, we don't have to have friends do that. Or we do it in our own mind. We always think it's our fault. People do things to us, and we always think it's our fault. Particularly if you've been damaged in the past, you always think it's your fault. That's baloney. It's not so. And so, Job lost. Listen. All of us go through times when we're kind of in a state of shock and we're just not with the program. But the issue is you don't stay there. You get up the next day and you get in the Word and get right back into life. The hope of God hasn't changed. The Word of God hasn't changed. You just keep on moving. Now, there's a lot of reasons people are hopeless. Somebody died, there's a failure, and I'm not saying any of these are good things. They're not. Maybe you've been through a divorce. Maybe you've been abused. There's 50 million things out there. Satan has something for everybody. Are you listening? I mean, the guy's an expert on it. He has something for everybody. Satan's got something for every single person that they can lose hope and get discouraged and get out of the Word of God, and get out of church, and go out in the backyard and eat worms. I mean, he has got something for everybody. He has no problem. Custom made just for you.
Amen.
Because he has familiar spirits who have been tracking you from day one.
Amen.
And he knows what pushes your buttons, and he knows what gets you going. He knows what gets you discouraged. And he'll try it every single day. There'll be something that happens that you'll have a tendency to be hopeless. I guarantee it. There'll be something every single day. You say, oh, I just wish I had a day. We're in a warfare. We're in a battle. People don't seem to understand in the United States that there's some people that want to wipe us off the map. There are people that don't care about you. They don't care about your children. They don't care about your grandchildren. They want you all dead. And people don't understand it. Oh, I think we'll just go over there and negotiate with these nice folks. It's probably all just a misunderstanding. Are we nuts? We're in a warfare. The Bible says we're in a warfare. It starts right out in the third chapter, says there's an enemy. In the Garden of Eden, no less. In paradise, there was an enemy. But it wasn't a surprise to God. And he's not in charge. And he can't do anything he wants to. But he does have the right to knock on your door and see if you'll open it. Usually somebody, if somebody knocks on my door about 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the evening, I know they're selling something. This time of year, your grass looks a little rough out there. We take care of grass there. You know, that kind of thing. I'm not opposed. Why not get out there and fix some grass and get paid for it? Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, I'm not against that, but I'm just saying, you open the door, he has the right to come in. And you, if you open the door, you say, you know, I'm not going to put up with this nonsense. Why should I mess with it now? I'm not going to mess with it later when I'm with Jesus. Why should I mess with it now? I'm just as much his right now as I'm going to be in eternity. Why do I have to put up with that stuff now? You don't have to put up with that stuff. You can say, I rebuke this in the name of Jesus. And Lord, get and remember Scripture. You know, being confident of this very thing, that he who's begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And you know, Jesus died, he was buried, and rose again. Hallelujah. On the third day. And he rose up into heaven making intercession for me. I'm a winner right this minute. In Jesus Christ. We got to start thinking like the Bible thinks. Realize we're in a warfare. That Satan would love to destroy you. If he can't destroy you, he wants to make you hopeless. And anything he can do to discourage you to get out of the things of God. I don't care if you are belong to God, you belong to God. But the issue is, if you let him in, it's going to be... How would it be to get saved? I mean, maybe you lived a life that just wasn't the best. And you had all these friends, and they say people join gangs because everybody's rebellious, so you get all this rebellion together, so everybody's in harmony to do wrong because they're all rebellious. I know I used to be one. I'm not bragging. But... So the issue is, how would it be? Well, you all of a sudden you get out of that gang, somebody takes you to church, you get saved, and so you want to live the Christian life. Now, would you live the Christian life by going back and continuing on in that gang? No. There's no hope there. There wasn't any hope before. There's no hope now. They're not going to give you hope. You can't get hope there. The only place you can get hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who's going to take you to be with Him in heaven forever.
Amen.
That's it, you see. Now, some people come out of these tragedies and come out of these problems, and I could make a list this long, they just can't get out of it, and they can't get it out of their mind, And the only way I know is to focus on the Word of God and on Jesus Christ. That's the only way I know. If you had to do nothing but 1 week but read the Bible and speak it out loud to break the bondage of the enemy, then I'd say do it.
Amen.
You see, if you've been living for months out of the ball game as far as God's concerned, the only way to get in it is concentrate. I mean, take a big dose of the Word of God, you know. And that's it. You know, you get sick, you go to the doctor, he says, well, I got some stuff for you, but you're going to have to take it every 3 hours. And you're going to have to take it for 10 days. If you don't do it, this isn't going to work. I'm going to tell you, if you're not in the Word of God, you're not going to understand the war, you're not going to understand the battle, you're going to open the door at the wrong time, you're going to live a life of discouragement, and you're not going to be what God wants you to be. And there are going to be a whole bunch of tears when you stand before Him in heaven. So you can come out either way. Now, Look in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. I'm almost done. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. Now, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. And you know, if we don't have that, we ought to be asking God for it. Every single day, Lord, anoint me with faith and love. But it comes out of the Word of God. It comes out of believing that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father. He's going to come again. You're going to be with Him forever. Nothing can stop that. The devil can't stop it. Hell can't stop it. Or any of that things cannot stop it. So live for Christ now, because it's just a little preliminary of what we're going to be later.
Amen.
You see. And I'll guarantee you it's a whole lot better life than wondering, you know, I just don't think God's got something for everybody but me. I just don't think, you know. I'm going to finish with this story. There was a Christian lady that worked in a bank, and she had access to everything in that bank. She could go in the bank vault and get money and bring it out and use it in the bank and all this stuff. She was a trusted employee, but one day, and there were a bunch of people that had that right to go into the vault, get the money. There was probably 10 people that were trusted to do that. And one day, $100,000 was missing. And one of her co-workers went and told the boss that she did it. She's the Christian. She said, that girl did it. So they investigated her, and they even had her picture in the paper that she was being investigated for this $100,000 loss at the bank. And this went on for weeks, but they couldn't find any proof, so they couldn't fire her. But she didn't get any, much recognition, and certainly, and no raises, no nothing, because her reputation had been destroyed at that particular point. Well, a few months later, they found out that the Brink's truck had come and gotten some money and exchanged the money in that bank, had made a mistake, and that's where the $100,000 was. They found the money, restored it to the bank, and so here this lady is. Her reputation's destroyed. She's a Christian. She kept right on working, kept right on trying to be as pleasant as she could. And one day, the woman that accused her came to her office and said, I'm sorry. Turned around and walked out. So the Christian lady walked right out with her and followed her to her office. And the accuser thought, boy, I'm in trouble now. But here's what the Christian lady said. I forgive you.
Amen.
I forgive you. Let's go on from this point on as though it never happened.
Amen.
The accuser sat there stunned. And finally she said, I want what you have.
Amen.
Now that is living in hope in this life. Where you live a life, trials, tribulations, whatever, somebody comes up and says, I want what you have.
Amen.
Let's stand before the Lord.